increase in our du'as. And two particular times that we should try and observe for du'as on a Friday is between the two khutbahs without moving the tongue for the ahnaf. Just in our heart, that du'a is very, very effective. So if we get a very little time, but try and make special du'as at that time. And then before Maghrib, try and make du'as before that if we can, as much time as possible between Asr and Maghrib. And then try and use itar, especially on a Friday. Daily we should use, we are reading kitabs, do hadith kitabs, etc. We should try and use itar, and on a Friday particularly. And try and read any surah that starts with sabbaha or yusabbihu, which are called the musabbihat. And the shortest of them all is sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. Try and read that surah. Then for the imam, there are special sunnahs also to read Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Dahar, etc. So we should try and observe all the amal, the sunnahs of Jummah also. May Allah give us tawfiq. Mention one other sunnah also. Whenever we enter the masjid, it's just a matter of entering. But in that little time, we can observe five sunnahs of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is to enter with the right leg. And alhamdulillah, many times I notice students, they step out with the right leg, right leg, or they step in with the left leg, then they reverse again. They realize the mistake, which is a very, very good sign, and they step in or step out with the right leg. Read Bismillah. What time does it take us? Nothing. Read Durood Sharif. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Make this dua, Rabbi ighfirli zambi zunubi waftahli abwaab rahmatik, when coming in, when going out, waftahli abwaab fadlik, and when coming in, make niyat of i'tikaf. And for that, five sunnats, 500 shaheed sawab in this time. And again, at the same time, we made niyat of i'tikaf. As long as we are in the masjid, we're getting sawab of i'tikaf. And the sawab of i'tikaf is so great. There are many students who come early and they are reading Quran, but they sit outside the masjid. That same time, if we just took that few steps and we came in the masjid with the niyat of i'tikaf, how much more sawab is won't there be? May Allah give us all tawfiq. The ayat, part of the ayat that I've read is from Surah Tabarakalladhi, 29th Supara. We'll just discuss this part of the ayat, in which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayat. Allah Ta'ala is that great, great being who has created maut. Maut doesn't just happen like that. Not just that a person dies. Maut is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And it comes clearly in the Hadith Sharif, on the day of Qiyamah, when all people of Jannat will be gone to Jannat, may Allah make us all of them, our families, our friends, the whole Ummah, everyone. And when the people of Jahannam, may Allah save us all, have gone there, and now everything is complete, then Allah Ta'ala will bring maut, which Allah had created in the form of a sheep, and it will be slaughtered. And then Allah Ta'ala will say, now no more maut. Now the people of Jannat will be forever in Jannat. May Allah make us of them. The people of Jahannam will be, those who are meant to be there forever will be there. So maut is also a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And yeah, we should try and apply our minds a little bit. That Allah Ta'ala is such a great creator that He has created something like maut. To create life. Alladhi khalaqa mauta wal hayat. Life is also something which Allah has created. So if we have to ponder about this a little bit, a baby is formed in the womb of the mothers, of the mother, in about 4 months, just over 4 months, the whole body is formed, but there is no life in it. Then Allah is that being who puts life in there. And that is, Allah Ta'ala is, as it comes, Khallaq-e Azim, a great, great creator. We should think of the greatness, how great Allah Ta'ala is. Allah is Khallaq-e Alim. Allah is that creator that has got full knowledge. We want to put up just one small little building, perhaps just a toilet, 2 meters by 1 meter, one little toilet. Then we so much of things we have to do. Think of the land, then we have to get an architect, then we have to have the plans passed, then we have to get bricks, we have to get cement, we have to get stone, foundation, the roof of it, the window, the door, and the people going to work. It's such a long process. Forget a big building. And Allah Ta'ala is that great being who has created the entire universe. And at this moment what we are discussing, Allah is that great being that has created life. Life is solely in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. It isn't the parents that can make the child. It's only Allah who makes it, which is a separate thing again. That Allah makes the eyes, makes the heart, the brains, Allahu Akbar, we cannot imagine. But then after all that is there, perfectly everything is there. But if Allah does not put life, which we call is the ruh, life and death is dependent on the ruh. And philosophers have tried to explain what the ruh is, and they've written volumes and volumes and volumes. Libraries are full, but at the end there is still no conclusion that what is the ruh. Whereas the Quran Sharif has said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what is the ruh? Allah Ta'ala puts the answer in two simple words. قُلْ الرُّوحُ. Ruh min amri rabbi is from the command, is a command of Allah Ta'ala. That command of Allah Ta'ala, that kun, and that irada, that when Allah intends to do something, that life Allah wants to give, then life comes into the child. Now the brain starts functioning, the heart starts functioning, everything on that one command, that ruh which Allah puts into the child. So we should think how great Allah, we are living, we are passing our lives, it is all with this ruh inside. And that ruh cannot come out 1 second, 1 millionth of a second before its time, and cannot be delayed by 1 millionth of a second also. Allah has put it and on its time. One big Hakim who was here recently, he said that nobody dies of illness. It is when mort is written, a person dies. I met one friend recently, and so he told me something which made me also think very, very much. He says his wife suffers from sleep apnea, a disease, a disorder of sleep. And he says hers is such that sometimes she stops breathing. So when a person stops breathing, what must happen? If a person doesn't breathe anymore, must die. But she doesn't die. Mort is not written. So can we imagine how her life must be going? That she can't breathe and she's not dying also. So what is this command? How many times we hear of accidents that take place, and many people die, fatal accidents, may Allah protect us all. But then we hear many times a small baby, not a scratch on the baby. In India one time, fast moving train, trains move very fast there also, and a woman with her little baby went to the toilet to clean the baby. The baby had messed. And she came out screaming that through the hole where all the mess goes out, it's not a closed thing, it's just an open hole, her baby fell through. And at a fast moving train. So the alarm was risen, the train stopped, they went back already, how many, perhaps a few kilometers it had moved by then. When they went back, they found the baby lying comfortably, kicking its hands, legs, smiling. Otherwise, logically, what should happen? Nothing should have been left of that baby, no trace of that baby. But who is the protector? One Allah. Allah is the only doer. And Allah meant that ruh still to be in that child. The child was still living. So this is that Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayat. That Allah is that great being who has created this. And one interesting question that arises here, Allah has mentioned maut first, and then hayat, life. Whereas sequence, as we see it, is life comes first, and then maut comes. One of the reasons, the Mufassirin right here, is that Allah, why Allah has mentioned maut first, that we have come in this world not for the sake of living, but for the sake of dying. And as soon as we come, we have to start preparing for death already. As little babies, we don't know anything. But the duty of the parents to make the child, as it comes into its senses, that it has come not to live, but to die. And we have to prepare for that eternal life of the year after. Very sadly, none of us prepare our children. That we prepare them for dunya. Everything of dunya we prepare for them for. We don't mention akhirat. And in fact, they are not only ordinary good families. If you mention maut, they say, nobody is dying now. What are you talking of death? Why are you making everything bitter and sour? Don't talk of death. Talk about life, enjoyment of life. But whereas we are informed in the hadith that we should remember maut often. And very fortunate and a very great ibadat it is to remember maut. In fact, a person who remembers maut, one riwayat 20 times, one riwayat 25 times, he gets the maut of a shaheed if he remembers maut 20, 25 times a day. And one easy way to do that is to read this dua 20 times a day. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Not difficult, it won't take 1 minute also. And a person will get the maut, insha'Allah, by Allah's fazl and karam, of a shaheed. So anyway, and the only thing that is of absolute certainty in life is maut. And the most uncertain thing is life. Life is the most uncertain thing. How many times a person, we were talking, everything, you went, then suddenly you just get the news he has passed away. You say, it's impossible. Just now I was talking with him. On the phone you were talking with him. One friend of ours many years ago, on the Eid, or Bakr Eid, the Eid of Dhul Hijjah, animals were being slaughtered, all were sitting, they were eating, he was drinking tea. With the saucer and the cup. And in that, he passed away. No sickness, no nothing. Each day, who will expect a maut on Eid? If you phone somebody, how many times it happens? Now it has happened. That a lady passed away, and everyone say, it must be the husband. He was so sickly. The wife was healthy. Nothing wrong with the wife. And she was making khidmat of her husband. And they say it's a mistake. Must be the husband has passed away. He was so sick. But it's a wife. So what is the most certain thing? And life is the most uncertain thing. Nobody has got guarantee of the next moment. But maut, nobody can escape maut. Maut has to come. So anyway, Allah is the creator of that life also. Allah is the creator of death also. So what a great creator. So we have to try and recognize Allah and know how great. And we are 100% in the commandments and in the hands of Allah. We think I'm a mini God myself. I plan this, I do that. Therefore, no insha'Allah comes on our tongue. I'll do this, I'll do that. Many times our friends phone home that I'll be there in 5 minutes. No, insha'Allah. Am I going to be, have I got the power to be at home? Not at home, not at all. It is only in the hands of Allah. If Allah wishes, I will be there. Otherwise, how can I be there? So if a person has got insha'Allah on his tongue consciously, that person has got some aspect of reality of iman. But if insha'Allah is not on our tongue, we do anything, there's no bismillah on our tongue. It's not in the heart also. That means we haven't still recognized, we haven't recognized Allah. And after recognizing Allah, to have that living contact with Allah Ta'ala. That Allah, you the only doer. My good condition is only from you. And if I have a condition which is not like sickness, finance problems, domestic problems, that is also from you. And it is written that the lowest form of a person is when he complains of Allah Ta'ala, when he complains of Allah Ta'ala, he complains about Allah, the one who can do everything. And he complains to other people who can do nothing. In other words, you got a sickness. I don't know why I'm suffering. Why Allah gave me this sickness? Why Allah gave me this problem? You're telling this one. You're complaining about Allah, who can do everything, and you complain, and you're complaining to somebody who can do nothing. I've got financial problems. I've got this problems. That is the worst. Then a second, better, higher than that is a person complains to Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. And the highest is a person tells Allah, this problem is because of me. I am the cause of this problem, my gunas. In fact, our elders, buzurgs, any suffering of anyone, anywhere in the world, they say, I am the cause of it. One great Allah Wala, who was the king of the time, when people were suffering, whether it was drought, I can't remember, or whatever, he says, Allah, my head is present, crush me, destroy me, I am the cause of all this problem. As soon as he presented that to Allah, Allah sent the clouds and the rain started coming. But today, nobody wants to take the blame. We all want to put the blame on somebody else. When a person realizes my problems are because of my bad actions, my sins, and our sins are open sins, which are called sins. But the great Allah Wala, they regard their sins like their ibadat, that we didn't do Allah's ibadat as it is. Allah gave us the opportunity to make His ibadat. We come for Jummah, for example. Now, inshallah, the way it looks, all are listening properly. But just now we were going to the khutbah, then see how our minds will wander. More than that, namaz, which is now the main namaz of the week. Jummah is the Eid of the believers. And in that namaz, each one of us will think now, or after namaz think, how much was my connection? How much in Surah Fatiha? It's repeated so many times a day. There is a reason why Allah is repeating Surah Fatiha for us so many times. We don't think of Surah Fatiha. Some of us, perhaps, if we do think, then the surah that is read after Surah Fatiha, we have little concentration. But in Surah Fatiha, that we don't have. And why is Allah repeating Allahu Akbar in namaz, in adhan, in namaz? It's repeated. So the greatness of Allah. Allah is the only. His greatness belongs solely and only to Allah Ta'ala. Whom Allah gives a part of it, Allah can take it away whenever He wants to. But it is from Allah. The greatness, nobody has got greatness, only Allah. And He gives to whom He wants to, how much of that share of that greatness. And it is for Allah, whenever He wants to, He can take it back also. So this reality has to come into us. We have to talk about it, make dua of it, make zikr of it, and repeat it over and over. We read La ilaha illallah. That is not just the words also. Allah give me tawfiq, all of us. Our zikr to a great extent is just customary. We are just making zikr. But the reality, every La ilaha, we negate everything, negate ourselves, negate everything in the world. Illallah. Only Allah is the doer. Only Allah has got greatness. Everything is with Allah. Anyway, there is much, much more that you people can even explain better than me. But just let us finish the ayat. Why did Allah create maut and hayat? For what reason? Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ To test you. And what to test you? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Who of you do the best of amal? So there are a few things here also to be considered, that Allah Ta'ala first said that Allah is testing our a'mal. How your a'mal are. That is, so on a'mal Allah will make decisions. That is one thing, not on mal, not on wealth. We feel that our position is according to our financial status. According to that is my position. But the fact of the matter is, you can be the poorest in the world. And how many hadith illustrate this? That you've got nothing, but you've got amal in you. By Allah, you are very high. And the world can think what they want to of you. Our value is not what the world thinks. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe. Wahan dekhna hai ki kaise rahe. How we live in this world and how people respect us, honor us, that's nothing. On the day of Qiyamah, khafidhatur rafi'ah, a day when people who are high in this world will be dropped very low. And people who the people thought nothing about those people, they will be raised very high. So the day of Qiyamah, in the eyes of Allah, what is our value? That is what we have to see. So also Allah Ta'ala did not say, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ أَعْمَالًا, that who does plenty of amal. Generally our nature is a person who does lot of amal, we got lot of respect and time for him, which is also good. But Allah wants ahsanu amala, the person who has got husn in his ibadat, quality, not quantity. Allah looks to quality. And one of the main things in there is ikhlas, sincerity. Anyway, the tafsir of this ayat, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah taught us, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَتَمُّ أَقْلًا وَفَحْمًا. Allah, the first tafsir, that Allah is testing us, who of you have got complete brains and understanding. Today, who we regard as a person of brains, who can do things in this dunya, some scientist, some person who invents something, somebody who writes some program for a computer, what the program he wrote, or anything of this dunya, a person from rags to riches he went, he had nothing, he became so rich. This person knew how to make money and he reached there. But what is the person who's got real brains, that he prepares for the eternal life of akhirah? This very, very, very short life of dunya, he doesn't give it preference. All his resources which Allah has given him, he uses it to prepare for akhirah. That is a person who got brains. And a person, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The people who know the things of this dunya, and they know akhirah, they are ghafil of it, unmindful of akhirah. Those people haven't got brains. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like animals or even worse. The worry that we should have is of akhirah, how to prepare for that akhirah. And Allah, if we read the stories of the pious, not stories, by story we understand, it's just a story, it's not a reality. But their real incidents, how every moment, how their nights, their days, we are billions of miles far from this, how they stand to prepare for the akhirah. So that is young people, children who had this reality, how they were preparing for akhirah. So that is the first thing. The second thing, the tafsir of this ayat, أي لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَسْرَعُوا إِلَىٰ تَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. Who of you are such that are fast, and quick in fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala? When it's Namaz time, we don't dilly-dally, we don't walk around talking, etc. We are there for Namaz. Anything else, it's my time for my tilawat, we don't, we're looking for some excuse now to take out the set, let me check my messages, if there are any messages for me. No, that person who goes, hurries in doing good deeds, and he has this understanding, I don't know when mort will come, let me prepare for akhirah. Let me do this good deed. Let me not procrastinate. Let me not put it off for a later time. Let me do it now. And the third, الَّذِي أَوْرَعُوا أَمَّعَى مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. And the person who abstains the most from the things which Allah has made haram. He is very cautious that anything which Allah has made haram, I must abstain from this. So that these are those people, that is what Allah is testing us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That who has got good brains. And brains also, one is dunya's knowledge and education we take, one is deeni education we take, but we are more worried about riwayats and about references and about resources, but we are not worried about preparing and for the akhirah. Make our fikr for ourselves, make fikr for our fellow brothers, what is going to happen at the time of mort. And in fact our life in this world, may Allah guide us, help us, how we lived, that is how we're going to die. تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيُونَ. How we lived, our mort will come like that. And so worry about that today. Then worry about the qabr. What's the life? There are people more than 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 years perhaps they are in their qabr. Their life is 10,000 compared to 60 years of life, 70 years, 100 years of life. And you are in the qabr for 10,000 years, that is the life. And that is still nothing compared to the day of Qiyamah, which will be so long. And that is nothing compared to the eternal life of the of Jannat or Jahannam. So wise is that person who prepares for that, who keeps that in mind. And for that, one compulsory thing that should come into us, Tawbah and Istighfar. Man is weak, but Allah is the forgiver, and Allah forgives very greatly. And we should never look down upon any person whatsoever. Somebody has said so beautifully, every sinner has got a future to look for. He makes Tawbah and he makes his future. And they say, though it's not 100% true, but every saint has got a history. Perhaps at the past, and there are many such great, great people. But if you look in their history, then how Allah changed them. When just they heard the ayat, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. How many people who were in what condition, but they changed their lives immediately. And then they became such great, great people. So we have to make tawbah, istighfar, no matter, don't ever become despondent, lose hope of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, where Allah will never say too little, too late. Or Allah Ta'ala will never say that you're a write-off. Or Allah will never say when you were young, you had strength, you had power, you had money, and then you did all the wrong things. Now when you are old, you can't do anything, you haven't got money, you haven't got strength, you are lying paralyzed in the bed. Now you making tawbah and coming to me? Allah will also then, marhaba, ahlan wa sahla. Allah will tell, fortunate it is, those people whom Allah gives tawfiq of making tawbah and istighfar. And as I said, are we making open gunas and we're not making tawbah istighfar? The righteous and the pious on their good deeds, amal is saliha, pious deeds, they make tawbah, ya Allah, we couldn't do it as it was supposed to be done. Oh Allah, please forgive us. I perform namaz, now we're going to make Jummah. How many of us think of it, that our minds, how much won't it wander from where and where? So we have to make tawbah and istighfar. After the namaz, make dua, ya Allah, my namaz wasn't worthy of acceptance. You out of your kindness, accept my namaz, the whole ummah's namaz. You'll ask for the whole ummah, by the barakat of that, Allah will accept yours also. Your maqbooleen, those bandas of yours who are accepted in your court, by the barakat of Durood Sharif, Quran Sharif, Allah has given us so many things, by the barakat of which, the tawassul of which, and those things are such which are loved by Allah. And by the barakat of that, Allah will accept us. So we make dua to Allah. So in this ayat, I mentioned about Durood Sharif, the amal of Jumu'ah, the sunnah way of entering the masjid. Allah give us all tawfiq. And if you think of this short little bit, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah is the most powerful, but He is most forgiving also. Though He's so powerful and He can take you to task, like our eyes, we used it wrongly, Allah could have made us immediately blind. You used your eyes wrongly. You thought of wrong things, Allah could make us mad immediately. But no, He forgives. So we should take that opportunity, and before the time comes of our end, we ask Allah for forgiveness. May Allah guide us, forgive us, and be pleased with us and the whole, and make lot of dua for rain, for the condition of the Muslims in the whole world, what Muslims and people in the world are going through. Never forget that, and make dua for that also.